This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
In about 10 minutes, President Joe Biden is expected to speak from the White House. We'll be carrying that live, but joining us with some perspective and analysis is former King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik. Thank you so much for coming on. Obviously, this is not the kind of story that we would like to have to speak to anyone about. But from a law enforcement perspective, now that the police department there have said there's just the one suspect, at least as involved in the shooting, they're not looking for anybody else at this point. Where does the investigation go?
Yeah, sorry to have to be joining you on this horrific day. I just send out all my thoughts to family and law enforcement, everybody that has to deal with this today. So it is really essentially the beginning of the investigation at this point. Once the active part of any critical incident is occurring, the focus is on stopping the threat to human life. And so now it is doing all those things to dig in and answer the kinds of questions that everyone will have regarding any kind of an event, but in particular mass casualty.
This was obviously, the school is considered a soft target. It's an older building. It doesn't have the same kind of security infrastructure set up as some of the newer schools have. Take us through, what are some things that can be done just from a safety standard to keep bad guys out of buildings?
Yeah, and it starts before that with opportunities to look at how approaches into and out of our schools, what the lay of the property is surrounding the buildings, and then it takes money to defend against these kinds of events, and to be able to set up systems and locks and communication and planning and training for not only the students in the schools, but law enforcement, emergency services. I mean, it is massive in how a response occurs, but how to defend against one as well.
What would you say, just from a risk standpoint, again, as the soft target is concerned, here in Washington with schools, is it easy, generally speaking, to get onto campus?
Well, and the first thing is that every campus is different, right? So every school and level of school, K through 12 to colleges, universities, and then we can't overlook private schools. Mm-hmm. So, and each one of those has, work involved in managing through different systems, different allocations of monies and abilities. So one of the problems is for law enforcement, for EMS response, is the complexity of knowing your schools, that your ground officers know your schools, that neighboring jurisdictions know each other's schools, so that response and coordination can be effective. But everyone across the state and in many places are different, and their security resources are different as well.
Is it good enough to simply have, resource officers being shared between schools in a district, or does it make more sense to have one at the campus itself?
Well, there's differing opinions on that. I was always in favor of having school resource officers on campuses, but in the last few years, concept has changed, and acceptance of that from community and school systems have changed a bit, one way or the other. Value of what the state associations of sheriffs and police chiefs have done to kind of map and know essential campuses and throughout the state of Washington, and to share that information, have that information available in different technologies to communicate between different law enforcement agencies and the importance of fire medical systems, as well as the schools. Building that system, maintaining that system, it's all about cost and human time to do the work.
Yeah. Another unfortunate tragedy that we'll wait and see what could have been done once we get some more of those details coming in. We've been talking with former King County Sheriff Mitzi Jo Hanknecht. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, the big story of the next several weeks to months is a mass shooting that took place in Uvalde, Texas, where the suspect, Salvador Romas, allegedly murdered 18 children and one teacher. At the same time, we have reports that he shot and severely injured and or killed his grandmother before that. He has been killed on scene by officers over at Robb Elementary School. Two police officers were shot and wounded. They are expected to survive. And, of course, now folks are going on what was his social media accounts before Instagram and Facebook took them offline. Obviously, they've been screenshot and shared everywhere. The question always becomes whether or not there were any clear warning signs. Joining me on the line to discuss is Brian Suits, of course, host of the Brian Suits Morning Show. Brian, you talked about this topic after the Buffalo shooting, where it seemed pretty clear that there were some signs and no one seemed to do anything about it.
Early indications, and, you know, and obviously all the standard disclaimers, will know more overnight by 6 a.m. tomorrow and the whole thing. But early on, it appears that this kid had some warning signs. And, you know, once again, I'm struck by the fact that the commonality is, you know, middle class white and even Hispanic kids, not from urban areas. And it's, you know, I don't know, but in general, from 1999, from Columbine to last Saturday in Buffalo, you have teens turning 18 and getting off their Ritalin, getting off their drugs. And I don't know what to say, except that when I was this age, I was going to Port Angeles High School with a rifle in the back window of my pickup. And I was in a parking lot, and half the pickups had weapons in the truck. And we were 17 and 18. And this didn't happen in Port Angeles. It didn't happen in Uvalde, Texas. You know, we were the same kids, you know, so what's different? And this is, you know, when people say that the common thread is the weapon, well, then I ask them, well, then how come it didn't happen in 1982 in Port Angeles? And never mind that, in Sylmar, California, in Compton, California, in some of the worst gang, you know, ridden neighborhoods in Los Angeles, why has this never happened? Why has a mass shooting never happened at a high school or a junior high there? Where if it's about availability of weapons, well, and people say, well, military grade weapons. Well, how about a fully automatic? How about your older brother's Uzi? You know, how about, why hasn't that happened there? What is the difference between the Elliot Rogers in Santa Barbara, the James Holmes in Aurora, Colorado, all the way back to 1999? What's the common thread with the boys who do this? And it's not the weapon, because, as I say, you know, you could outfit an infantry battalion with the weapons in your older brother's room in Sylmar, California right now, but it doesn't happen there. And this is where I would caution people like me, strong Second Amendment supporters, you need to recognize that there's a mental health issue that didn't exist when we were 18, when we were 28, when we were 38, you know, whatever. We have to recognize that, and we have to focus, you know, the issue there. Mm-hmm. Because my weapons are locked up and unloaded at home. They didn't grow legs today and do this. And they didn't do it 10 years ago. They didn't do it 20 years ago. And this is horrific. It's tragic. It's part of the reason that I've been sending my own daughter to school with a first aid kit, equivalent to what I carried in Baghdad in 2004, because I see what the issue is for the victims, that oftentimes they're lying there bleeding out. Well, it's not going to be my kid, or it's not going to be your kid if they happen to be next to my kid. And until we start dealing with the mental health issue, which, by the way, it's a HIPAA thing. You know, you can buy a car as a psycho. You can buy a motorcycle as a psycho. And yeah, you can buy a gun. If you've never been adjudicated mentally defective, question whatever it is, 12F on the 4473, you know, it's different than when we were 18. We have to come together, because believe me, we Second Amendment supporters are the ones that are going to protect the Second Amendment. I don't want to go there on the day this happened, but that's where already it's being used. It's being politicized as we speak, and it's on the face of it as horrific as it is, a week and a half ago. You know, I can no more envision an 18-year-old looking down the barrel of a rifle at an 82-year-old grandmother and pulling the trigger as I can, an 18-year-old looking down the barrel of a handgun or a long gun at an 8-year-old. It's absolutely beyond my ability to even, conceive of the mental place it takes. So we all have to recognize there's a mental health issue right now that didn't exist when we were kids, and we have to address it, or else, you're going to give this momentum that should have stopped 20 years ago after Columbine, frankly.
Yeah, but we never take these conversations seriously as a nation, or at least one side does to a point, and then they stop talking about it as well. And, we get situations like this that pop up, and this is assuming there was a clear mental health aspect that was either missed, ignored, or known about. Sometimes we don't necessarily know that people around us are going through whatever mental health issue they're going through that pushes them into making a disturbing and tragic decision, like to shoot your grandmother and then shoot a whole bunch of innocent children. Brian Suits is joining me on the line. Just very quickly, President Biden is set to speak in the next few minutes. He's running a little bit late. We expect that. What do you think he should say to the nation?
What he should say is we all need to spend a night to grieve and take a deep breath, and then we'll start talking about this tomorrow. But he's not going to. He's going to say, it's an epidemic. I didn't catch mass murder from some kid in Uvalde, Texas today. I didn't catch it. It's not an epidemic. Gun violence is actually at a 40-year low. Mass shootings represent a tiny percentage. More people across the country will be shot individually by felons who possess guns that they shouldn't possess in the next hour than died in Uvalde, Texas right now. But that's the cold objectivity of somebody like me. Right now, the coin of the realm is empathy. And, the best I can do is pick up my daughter and pet my dogs. But, I know what the problem is. And it's like I'm talking into a tunnel, since Columbine, 1999, which ironically is when I started in talk radio, mm-hmm. down the hall at Cairo, mm-hmm. on the weekend of Columbine. And I could tell there was something different about this. So it's been going on for 22 years. And like I say, didn't happen when I was 18. And we had far easier access to firearms then. So there's clearly something different, but it's not what anyone wants to hear in 5 minutes from now from the White House.
Yeah. And the question is, will he become the uniter that he said he was going to become, or will this immediately get into the politics? And I fear, based on Vice President Harris's comments a little bit earlier, sort of hinting at, this is going to be political. And you'll hear the potential of just the generic, we need more gun control, without actually telling us how this individual got the guns, what gun law would have prevented this that isn't either on the books or could exist in a world in which we have a Second Amendment. And the simple response can't just be, we got to ban guns. You can say that all you want. That's not going to happen. We have a constitution the same way we don't say, well, we got to ban speech because someone got bullied and they ended up killing themselves. That's not a reasonable response in the context of any of these tragedies. And so I don't know what gun, let's say he purchased the guns legally. Okay, what gun law would you put in place that doesn't just involve banning a gun?
Or absolute violations of what we decided is privacy. You know, in the same way you can't be overserved at a bar and you can't walk into a gun shop drunk and buy a gun. You know, if a kid is on a psychotropic drug and they wouldn't be on it, of course, if there was some side effects or whatever, but it's very complex. The problem is when they come off of it. And also my, you know, the other issue that's rearing its ugly head today is when you get somebody from the hothouse of California lawmakers like Kamala Harris, they could not care less about the victims here. They only see an opportunity to denounce your ownership of firearms. Never mind your sanity. Never mind your lack of a felony background and your law-abiding, tax-paying life, you know, up to 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. All they know is, this wouldn't have happened without the gun. And they cannot answer the question, then why didn't it happen in 1982, 1992? Why 2022? They don't want to answer that. They say that's a distraction, you know, or whatever.
Last question for you before we expect the president to speak. Answer this if you want. Obviously, you've made reference to how you're preparing your daughter to go to school. And you held this position before today. You'll hold it tomorrow. What are those conversations with your kid like when something like this happens?
Well, that's the weird thing is that, you know, I don't have to break any news to her. She knows the lay of the land. She went to a school down in Los Angeles where they had active shooter drills, the whole thing. And the big gap to me was, well, why aren't you advising parents what they can put in their kids' backpacks or not? And their answer was always, well, certain designated teachers have certain designated, you know, kits. I'm like, well, I don't trust them. Okay, if you don't mind, I'm going to put it in my kid's backpack and teach her how to use it. I don't want to be the guy that starts this movement. You do what you want to do with your kid. All I know is my kid's not bleeding out, and any kid next to my kid is not bleeding out. She knows how to take care of herself, and she knows how to take care of people around her because I take this seriously. Until we deal with the mental health issue with some of the kids at her middle school last week, a kid brought an unloaded gun to school. And I mean, I know, you know, he did it to like show and tell with his buddies. He wasn't there, you know, for whatever, or else he would have brought a loaded gun. But, you know, I don't need another reminder that, you know, I'm not trusting the school. I'm in charge of my kid's safety. And I'm fresh out of fascination with how unoriginal teenage boys are. You know, now it's 10 days after Buffalo. Here's this kid. And I really, you know, in this case, the fact that his mother is alive, his grandmother is alive. I really, really hope she survives. And I want to hear what precipitated this. How did he get the gun? You know, is this another Adam Lanza situation? Mm-hmm. You know, or Kip Kinkle in Springfield, Oregon? You know, the kid who kills their guardian or parents and then goes to school. And I mean, I happen to have a connection to the Springfield shooting. And someone I work with in Los Angeles lost his daughter in Santa Barbara to the Elliot Rodger thing. And it's funny because the one thing they say, the commonality that they say is, what's with these boys? And that never gets reported as part of the story. It's always, oh, it's the guns, it's the guns, it's the guns. Well, the gun didn't grow legs and go to Robb Elementary School today. It was in the hands of someone, and in Buffalo, it was in the hands of someone who drove 200 miles to complete a plot that he had publicly talked about on the internet, and Homeland Security couldn't find it, you know? And so it's very frustrating to me because the answer to me doesn't have an agenda. The answer is very practical. But the agenda here is ghost guns or private possession of firearms in general.
Mm-hmm. Brian Suits has been joining us with his live reaction to this mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Brian, thank you so much. You'll be on tomorrow, 6 to 9, with the latest. Thank you.
All right, Jason. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Again, the update that we have is that there have been a total of 18 students who were shot and killed. One adult, a staff member, a teacher, was killed. The shooter is dead. His name is, he's been named as Salvador Romas. He is a resident of the city. He was 18 years old, and he apparently shot his grandmother beforehand. We'll take the president's speech live when it happens. He is about 10 minutes late at this point.
This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
We do have an update on what happened on the ground, at least as far as law enforcement and their interaction with the suspect, Salvador Romas. According to Bill Malugin of Fox News, he's actually saying the AP just reported that the shooter was shot and killed by a Border Patrol agent who happened to be nearby when the shooting began. He rushed into the school without waiting for backup, and he ended up shooting and killing the gunman who was barricaded at the time. That's a hero. If that is true, that is a person who is a hero, who decided to put his own life on the line in service of this community. Now, we don't know if he just happened to be nearby because he was nearby at the time that this was happenstance. We don't know if he has a kid at the school. But whatever the reason is, that is very significant. A story, if that is true. We talk often on this show about there are a lot of seconds that tick by that matter when you're waiting for police to arrive at the scene of whatever the emergency is, be it a shooting or a robbery. There's a lot that can happen in the minutes that it takes for police to arrive. And this is what we mean. This was someone who just happened to be nearby at the time. So that is the update. Unfortunately, still we have 18 as the number of students who were murdered today. One teacher was killed. We don't have an update yet on the health the status of the 10-year-old girl and the 66-year-old woman who went to a San Antonio hospital for treatment after this shooting. We are now hearing a little bit more from people who knew Salvador Romas. He, one former classmate, spoke with Ali Bradley, a reporter on the ground.
And I heard three gunshots, and they started running, so I went inside. And I was telling, hey, get down, they're shooting, and I heard more shots go off.
So tell me what it was. You had one period in class with him. What kind of person was he? How would you describe him?
Well, he was it was a long time ago, so it was PE during sixth period. You just chill, just chillax. He didn't seem like the type of dude to be, you know, sketchy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Would you ever thought he would have gone into a school and killed 14 kids?
No, didn't thought.
And you said that he dropped out of school.
Well, I'm assuming because junior year, I did not see him at all, at all. And senior year, I did not see him. So I'm assuming he dropped out, but yeah, just crazy.
You think things went south after he dropped out of school?
I think so, because back then he was, you know, a little bit chubby. Right now he's, from the pictures I saw, he's skinny, has like cheekbones like that. But, yeah.
Now, did you hear that his girlfriend was making threats to other schools around this area?
I didn't know.
Did you know? You didn't know who his girlfriend was?
No,
then?
I didn't know.
Okay, but you did go to that school.
Oh yeah, I was right there for 4 years.
What does it feel like to stand here and know that that's what happened at your old elementary school?
Well, I feel bad.
Yeah.
Because yesterday, I was walking through them. I was walking and high-fiving all the kids there. And I don't know if I high-fived a child that's no longer with us.
So that was a former classmate talking with independent reporter Ali Bradley on the ground in Uvalde. We're also now hearing, courtesy of Bill Malugin, that According to Texas authorities, the school shooter shot his grandmother before going to Robb Elementary, and then he started to shoot indiscriminately. He had a rifle and was wearing body armor. He barricaded himself and ended up exchanging gunfire and was killed by a tactical team. So AP is now, at least from Bill Malugin's perspective, AP is pulling back that CBP agent story that he was killed by a tactical team. He, as all of this information is coming forward, we're still waiting to hear from the president. We don't know what he's going to say that is beyond the uniting of the country, which is what you would hope he would do after a tragedy like this. And I'm hoping that he does not get political. I really am. I don't know if that's reasonable of me to expect. I don't. I'm hoping that the president here will not take this as an opportunity to push for different policies so soon after a tragedy where we don't have all the details. Now, maybe he's got the details. Maybe they told the president, here's what we found out, and it's all going to be new to us, and there's some very clear law that can be passed to prevent something like this. But I keep seeing people on Twitter, because I sent out my tweet that I usually do after events like these that don't happen all that often, despite what some folks will want you to believe, which is avoid as best as possible both sides on any of these issues, Republican or Democrat. Avoid politicizing this and not making this about your hot take. You've got plenty of time to put out your hot takes. Avoid it. And of course, people then respond with their hot takes, because people can be just absolute monsters at times like this, because they wait for tragedy to try to push a political point. The problem is they don't have all the details. And so they are pushing for something they don't know is even if it's even relevant here. They have no idea. They're guessing. They're hoping, because they have this preconceived notion about whether it's gun control or mental health. Now, I'm assuming there's a mental health component here. Do I know that for certain? No, I have no clue. But Brian Suits, who was on in the first part of the show of this hour, he made a really good point, which is guns were a heck of a lot easier to obtain years and years and years ago when he was a kid. Much easier. Different kinds of guns, sure, but it was much easier. Why didn't we have all of these kinds of events back then when it was easier to get a gun? What's happening between then and now? Is there a mental health issue at play? I suspect there is, but don't know. But let's say there is. Okay, can we actually do something about it, or are we just going to keep talking about it? We talk on this show about specifically about addiction and mental health issues amongst the homeless. And what do we say? We should be putting money there. We shouldn't be putting money into buying hotels. We shouldn't be putting money into more shelters when we can help almost immediately shelter someone and get them the mental health care that they desperately need or the addiction treatment that they need by putting them into services, giving them those resources. And we should be funding those. Wouldn't you rather spend the tens of millions of dollars that get spent on hotels, on actual treatment that gets to the underlying cause of the homelessness? I'm assuming yes. So why do we not take that exact same position when it comes to some of these kids who are doing these shootings? Again, that's if that played a role here. But I find it so distasteful that people rush to make this about any political issue. And I'm also disgusted when folks on our side immediately say, we need more guns. You don't need to make that point today. I think it's fair to make the point of security on campus. I think that that's fair. I also think it's fair to bring up the conversation that kind of went away. We were having it in a big way, but then it just kind of people stopped talking about the idea of having armed teachers who are qualified. Because I do believe in this part, I don't particularly see as political outside of the teacher part getting armed. If you expect resistance, are you more or less likely to go to that place as a target? More or less likely. I think less likely, except in cases where you're dealing with a crazy person or someone who is basically doing this to effectively commit suicide, suicide by someone else's gun. But if you are a criminal and you are looking to find victims, what might you do? You go to a place where you don't expect any resistance. The robber who's breaking into a home, if you've got two homes next to each other and one home has a sign that says, armed residents, we will defend ourselves. And the next home says, oh, we're on peace and love. No, we're anti-weapon. Who does that robber, if he's going to choose a home to break into, who does he break into? Which home? So we don't have those conversations. It's just gun control. Gun control. Okay, what gun control law? Other than banning guns, what's the gun control law that you would like to implement based on what we know right now? Oh, you see, you don't have any of those details because we don't have a hell of a lot of information as to how the weapons even got into his hand to begin with. So maybe have that thought before you take these positions. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. The president is expected to speak. Actually, he's going... He is now in the... He's walking up to the microphone, the podium. We're going to go to that live.
Uvalde, Texas. An elementary school. Beautiful. Innocent. Second, third, fourth graders. And how many scores of little children who witnessed what happened see their friends die as if they're on a battlefield, for God's sake. They'll live with it the rest of their lives. There's a lot we don't know yet. There's a lot we do know. The parents who will never see their child again, never have them jump in bed and cuddle with them. Parents will never be the same. To lose a child is like having a piece of your soul ripped away. There's a hollowness in your chest. You feel like you're being sucked into it and never going to be able to get out. Suffocating. It's never quite the same. It's the feeling shared by the siblings and the grandparents and the family members and the community that's left behind. Scripture says, Jill and I have talked about this in different contexts, in other contexts. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So many crushed spirits. So tonight, I ask the nation to pray for them. Give the parents and siblings the strength in the darkness they feel right now. As a nation, we have to ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? When in God's name we do what we all know in our gut needs to be done? It's been 3,448 days, 10 years since I stood up at a high school in Connecticut, a grade school in Connecticut, where another gunman massacred 26 people, including 20 first graders at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Since then, there have been over 900 incidents of gunfires reported on school grounds. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Santa Fe High School in Texas. Oxford High School in Michigan. The list goes on, and the list grows when it includes mass shootings at places like movie theaters, houses of worship, as we saw just 10 days ago at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. I am sick and tired of it. We have to act. And don't tell me we can't have an impact on this carnage. I spent my career as a senator and a vice president working to pass common sense gun laws. We can and won't prevent every tragedy, But we know they work and have positive impact. When we passed the assault weapons ban, mass shootings went down. When the law expired, mass shootings tripled. The idea that an 18-year-old kid can walk into a gun store and buy two assault weapons is just wrong. What in God's name do you need an assault weapon for except to kill someone? Deer aren't running through the forest with Kevlar vests on, for God's sake. It's just sick. And the gun manufacturers have spent two decades aggressively marketing assault weapons, which make them the most and largest profit. For God's sake, we have to have the courage to stand up to the industry. Here's what else I know. Most Americans support common sense laws, common sense gun laws. I just got off a trip from Asia, meeting with Asian leaders. And I learned of this while I was on the aircraft. And what struck me on that 17-hour flight, what struck me was these kinds of mass shootings rarely happen anywhere else in the world. Why? They have mental health problems. They have domestic disputes in other countries. They have people who are lost. But these kinds of mass shootings never happen with the kind of frequency they happen in America. Why? Why are we willing to live with this carnage? Why do we keep letting this happen? Where in God's name is our backbone to have the courage to deal with it and stand up to the lobbies? It's time to turn this pain into action for every parent. For every citizen in this country, we have to make it clear to every elected official in this country, it's time to act. It's time for those who obstruct or delay or block the common sense gun laws. We need to let you know that we will not forget. We can do so much more. We have to do more. Our prayer tonight is for those parents lying in bed and trying to figure out, will I be able to sleep again? What do I say to my other children? What happens tomorrow? May God bless the loss of innocent life on this sad day. And may the Lord be near the brokenhearted and save those crushed in spirit, because they're going to need a lot of help and a lot of our prayers. God love you.
That was President Biden. Let's see if he'll take any questions. I doubt it. Maybe this one. No. So, starts off, I think, reasonable, hitting the somber tone that a day like this demands, and then immediately gets into going after the gun lobby. We don't have details yet, public at least, explaining how the guns were acquired. And then he decided to, as Tucker is saying, desecrate the memories of those kids by leaning into that stupid, disgusting deer and Kevlar joke. What in God's name is he thinking? Seriously. As someone who is somewhat disconnected from the politics of this issue, did that rub you the wrong way?
It was awful.
Why would you say that? Why would you include that? Seriously, why would you include that? You could have stayed as political as he was, made the exact same point. In fact, he started by saying the only reason you would need this gun is to kill people. Now, that's an absurd position, but okay. Like, I get it. And that is a political comment that would make sense in this context if you wanted to get political. Okay, fine. Then to follow it up by using the joke like, oh, yeah, I've got a good joke on this one. Why would you do that? What purpose did that serve? Did people chuckle? Was that what you were trying to do? Get someone to chuckle? Because the idea of a deer in a Kevlar vest is supposed to get someone to chuckle, right? It makes your point about not needing this weapon, and it gets you chuckling. Oh, yeah, I guess he's right. It's kind of funny. Why would you do that? What is the purpose of that? What purpose did that serve? Other than to, yet again, show us he doesn't really have control when it's not scripted. Just a shameful comment to put in. And I didn't like the middle part of that speech. Most of you probably didn't either, because it very clearly got political. He is not the unifier in chief. It started off like I thought he was. I was like, oh, wow, you know what? Good. This is the president that we need right now. Clearly hurt by what happened. He knows what it's like to lose a son. Obviously different scenario. But our takeaway is from this, before knowing any of the details on how he even acquired the gun, yeah, we need more gun control. Okay, what's the gun control law? I'm waiting. I'd like to know that. You tell me the gun control law that stops mass shooting that we don't already have, and I'll certainly support it if it makes sense and it's legal. But ultimately what they mean is they want to ban guns. He cannot help himself. So inappropriate. So inappropriate. And I don't think he realizes it's inappropriate. That's the thing. You have 18 kids, children, murdered today. You have a teacher murdered today. You have a 10-year-old girl and a 66-year-old woman hanging on to life today. You have a grandmother who was apparently shot, who's hanging on to life. And that's your comment. Deer in a Kevlar vest. The hell is wrong with you? Seriously, what was the point of that? Oh, congratulations, Mr. President. That was great. You even worked in that joke. Oh, I love it when you do that joke. I mean, sure, it was on the backs of 18 dead children, but I think it might have landed. I think it landed. I mean, we wanted to laugh. We couldn't really laugh out loud when you made that joke, because obviously the moment is somber, but we were thinking, oh, that's a good one. That's funny. Unbelievable. And by the way, Trump makes that, Bush makes that, Obama makes that same exact joke. People would also probably question the appropriateness of that, whether or not that was wise. Biden will get a pass because, again, he's taking a position that media members like. Donald Trump says that it would be the end of times for media coverage. George Bush says it, it's the end of times. Again, even if Obama did that, they would say, wow, that was an uncharacteristic moment of odd levity during. Even he would get attacked after that. But Biden will get a pass. Because I guess we shouldn't expect more. That's disgusting. So again, if you're just joining us, that was the president speaking. After a tragic day in Uvalde, Texas, he decided to get divisive and political. 18 children were murdered, one teacher. The suspect has been identified as Salvador Romas. We now have an update to how he was shot. We can tell you there was more truth to the Malugin tweet than not. Turns out the Border Patrol agent who's believed to have shot and killed the suspect went in with the tactical team, so he wasn't there going in alone. But he was someone who stepped up when he didn't have to. He stepped up and he helped, according to these reports, end this coward and evil degenerate's life. As his grandmother, who was shot, initially, the report suggested that she was killed. A state senator from the area said that she is hanging on to life in the hospital. And obviously, we hope that she pulls through, not just to save a life, but to give us more details that could help make sense of what happened. I know there's some people who don't want to make sense. That's not really what this is about. They're just about the guns. Go ahead and take that position if that's what you want to take. Go for it if that's your position. I'm going to refrain from doing any of that on Twitter. You won't find any of that from me today. Tomorrow, we'll have a bigger conversation about the politics of it, because it would be naive to pretend that politics don't play a role. There was even an election today in which the primary results have come in. We'll cover and give analysis of that tomorrow. And of course, we will stay with Fox News at the top of the hour as we get updates on what and why behind this just tragic mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. You've been listening to live breaking news coverage on the Jason Ranch Show on AM 770 KTTH, online at KTTH.com.